Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. We're live on Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. We're very excited to welcome artist Joan Truckenbrod to the show. She is located in beautiful Ashland, Oregon, and she is credited as being one of the earliest pioneers of digital art in the 1960s. Known for her digitally assisted weavings, Joan's art creates an intuitive conduit between technology and nature. She says her studio practice began creating coded algorithmic drawings, and she saw the algorithms were not a hard set of instructions, but fluid, allowing her to transform ideas into new forms. And there was a spontaneity that was related to this process. Joan Truckenbrod's Digital Fibers, 1975 to present, collects some of Joan's early coded algorithmic drawings and textiles from the 70s and 80s. Her digital paintings from the 90s, fiber art from the early 2000s, and her current work of woven tapestries, Joan's art captures phenomena in nature through digital rematerializations. Joan Truckenbrod, Digital Fibers, 1975 to present, is three separate galleries. The first gallery collects Joan's early drawings that have never been exhibited before. And then the second gallery includes Joan's current hand digital computational tapestries that combine analog and digital program. The third gallery includes a combination of five large archival digital compositions and two smaller ones that confront the trauma of being diagnosed and treated for breast cancer. Her website is sensational, and I encourage you to peruse it, www.joantruckenbrod.com, JoanTruckenbrod.com. Now, Joan Truckenbrod, Digital Fibers, 1975 to present, continues through September 16, 2021 at the Schneider Museum of Art. And you can also visit that website, sma.sou.edu. So get out there and check that out. But let's welcome Joan to our show. It's a real honor and a pleasure to have her here. Joan, welcome to Close Up Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
So much. It's an honor to talk with you as well.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Your work is absolutely exquisite. It's stunning, and I was perusing it in preparation for today's show. And again, congratulations on the ongoing exhibit that's happening in Ashland, Oregon, and you have artwork in all three of their galleries, which I think is spectacular. And Christian Paul, curator of the digital collection of the Whitney in New York City, commissions to write an essay for the exhibit, which was on the Schneider Museum website. And the title, as I mentioned, is Joan Truckenbrod, Digital Fibers, 1975 to present. Also, you're so passionate about this work. I mean, the artwork combines the digital with the analog. Tell us about your life's journey and your inspiration for all of this.
Well, I first want to thank the Schneider Museum of Art, because it has been a real honor to show so much work there. Scott Malburn, who's the director and the curator, visited my studio and actually made the choices of the artwork that are currently on exhibit. And I'd also like to thank his staff. They've been amazing. And the docents there that I met with when I was there, and because they're presenting the work to the visitors. In addition, I'd like to thank the Oregon Arts Commission and the Ford Family Foundation for a grant that allowed me to bring two textiles from collections in Chicago to be viewed now in the exhibition in Ashland. So it's been absolutely terrific. So I think in terms of inspiration, it's the collaboration of being intimately in the natural world and also working with fiber, because that the juxtaposition of sort of imagery and materiality allow me to create, I think, some very interesting artwork.
That's fantastic. And again, I love what you do and the way that you sort of combine what would seem like two opposing worlds, two opposing mindsets and approaches to life, and weave them and find you're a wonderful conduit for weaving and blending them together in such a artful way. The exhibition titled Joan Truckenbrod, Digital Fibers, 1975 to Present. Tell us about this and, you know, how the people are reacting to it. I would imagine the feedback you're getting is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me. And, of course, when you can connect and engage with an audience, it's a real treasure as an artist.
Yeah.
But I'll just mention the three galleries because they are different bodies of work. And in the main gallery are these fiber installations, each pair, and also the archival digital prints, which are also very large. The fiber installations, there are six of them, and they're 42 inches wide by 60 inches high, and then they're spaced, each pair is spaced about 18 inches apart. And they're suspended from the gallery ceiling. And so you can, as you walk around, you see these different images. And for these, I think you can see them on the museum website and also on my Instagram, which is my name. So each pair, and this body of work deals with how one makes a trajectory to move beyond the experience of being diagnosed and treated for breast cancer, which I'm sure I share with many, many women. So it's traumatic. It's has a lot of anger, of course, in the initial stages. So some of these images have a lot of tension in them, and the way I create that is there's a foreground image, which is on a translucent material called voile, and the background image is on charmeuse, so it has a little bit of a light reflecting quality to it. And so the foreground image is related to the background image, but it's not the same. So as the wind currents move these panels of fiber, or as the viewer walks by, the relationship between the foreground image and the background image starts to shift. So you begin to develop a narrative between the images. I can give you, maybe I should talk about an example of one of them. One is called thresholding, and again, it's this idea of being on a threshold, and of course, you can go either direction, and you just decide you're going up, you're going out. And so thresholding has images of a Polaroid photograph of me, and it's crumpled up in my hand. And the way I create the tension lines is I put a tray of water on my scanner with plastic wrap or saran wrap over it. And I take my fist and I push into that saran wrap, so into the water. So you create these tension lines and also a bubble. It gives the visual image of a bubble. And the way this imagery erupted, I guess you would say, is prior to radiation therapy, the radiologist marks you all up with a felt tip. It's a bizarre kind of situation. And that reminds me of in indigenous tribes when people are, nude bodies are marked with sacred symbols that become visible at night as they move around a fire, like a campfire. So the undulation of the firelight reveals these symbols. So I was sort of feeling like I was in a primitive kind of situation. And so we took Polaroid images of this, actually, and I sent them to my oncologist, and I said, this can't be right. This can't simply cannot be right. And, of course, he said, yes, I'm sorry, this is actually correct. So then, in the experience of this, I crumpled up the Polaroids and used that image on the foreground and then another image in the background. And I use water a lot because it's transformative and it cleans and it moves on into, the world. And so I use fish, images of fish as well, to carry this idea into sort of recovery, I guess you'd say. So there's a materiality which has a very strong, provocative physical presence along with the imagery. So the fiber sort of brings one meaning and the imagery kind of brings another. And I find that they intervene with one another and they sort of shift the meaning. So maybe I can just also refer, there are a couple of smaller photographs in the exhibit, and I think they're also on the website. And this one is called Soul Fire, and it's much more direct. It's just a photograph, but it's a digital composition. So there are trees above, so it looks like you're down in the roots or underground, and there's a cavern. And the cavern is actually a picture of the radiation machine. And then I superimposed on that an image of fire because I felt like it caused a fire. And then to counter that, then to counter that is a red hand holding a beach pebble. So for me, elements on the beach are also transformative because they get transformed every 12 hours by the tides. So the tides come in and conceal them, and then the tides go out, and you see new worlds because they've been reconfigured. So that's just a couple of examples of this body of work that are in that foreground in the first gallery, but it's the largest gallery.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. There's this connection again between the artwork in these three galleries, right? There you have, like you're saying,
right,
this connection. There's things that distinguish them, but then there is this connection. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. I think really it was Scott, the curator's inspiration. He'd been to the studio twice, and he was the one that really imagined the trajectory through these three bodies of work. So that was curious and interesting for me. The middle gallery has two sets of programmed textiles where I create the algorithm and then the program. And then, not being satisfied with what's on the screen, I had to find a way to propel those images into the world. I felt they needed to be, again, part of the world. And the earlier textiles were programmed, and they were transferred to fabric by hand. So I'll tell you that process. It's always, I have usually a vision of how I want the work to be, and then I have to find a way to make that happen. So the early ones from 1978 and 79, and the earliest one is called Electronic Patchwork. And patchwork refers to the early patching in computers, which were like plug boards where cables got plugged into these plug boards. So it has a dual meaning of quilting, but also patchwork in the electronics arena. So it's a connection of the handcraft with the electronics. And that piece is in the collection of the Black Museum of Art at Northwestern University in Chicago. And then the other one that's made this similar way is in the collection of the State of Illinois Museum. So both of those we were able to transport from Chicago to Ashland. So to get them onto the fiber, I created a program that made sequential images. And then each one, one at a time, showed up on the monitor. So I turned the monitor upside down on a 3M color-in-color copier, which allowed me to make heat transfer images on paper. So each of the series got printed on heat transfer paper, trimmed down, and then hand ironed back onto fiber. So that process allowed me to create these early textiles. There are three other ones in that gallery that were programmed on a Tektronix terminal. Those were photographed off the screen, and then 3M had a scan-a-mural process, which made big canvas murals out of them. And one of those, not on exhibit, is in the collection at the Art Institute in Chicago. And then also in that gallery is a connection to currently where I am hand weaving with a digital loom and working on some new images that deal with fences, because for me, fences have become very highly charged. Where I live, there are homeless camps with fences around them, so they're fenced in, and then, of course, the fencing on the southern border of the United States. So I'm working with images that are abstracted, relating to the construction of a fence, but then I'm going to do a triptych, and it's going to be mounted on chain-link fence. It's going to be kind of scrappy, and it's going to be mounted on chain-link fence. So that there's three current weavings in that center gallery. And then the last gallery is basically where it all started, with the programming of the drawings using Fortran and key punch machine and computer cards and a pen plotter to make a series of drawings. So I never was able to see those drawings on the screen. I had to understand what I was creating through the series of drawings that got drawn out by the pen plotter. And in this particular gallery, there are two rolls of drawings which have never been exhibited before that show the sequence and the evolution of an idea, I think. So also in that gallery is one image called On Becoming, which is a synthesis of an abstracted digitized image of my face over a live video image of my face, and then photographed off the screen and then printed. And if I can, I wanted to read a quote from Christiane Paul's essay about this particular image. She says, as an analog and digital image that fuses portraiture with the digital aesthetics of a rasterized visual, On Becoming captures the emergent quality of the human body, code, and the artistic creation.
That's beautiful. That really sums up in such a phenomenal way, huh?
Yes. Yeah, her whole essay is astounding. So I encourage people to go on to the Snyder's website and read her essay, because it's really, really interesting, impactful.
So we were talking a little bit about some of the way it's all coming together, and explain a little bit more for us, for the audience who are listening and learning along the way, who decides that your artwork should be exhibited, and in this case, who decided? Is that completely you, or, again, others are always in the mix? How does that work?
I think if you're going to exhibit, it's a lot of it is others. In this particular exhibit, it was pretty much Scott's choice. I mean, I could have disagreed, of course, but I liked his perspective. I thought it was really valuable. So through two visits to the studio, he he chose this particular body of work. And I should also say there's an exhibit in Paris this summer at the RCM Gallery, and they also have two of the early coded drawings, coded algorithmic drawings in that exhibit. So they chose those. And then the different collections that have my work, like the Whitney has four drawings and a coded textile, they chose those. The one at the Block Museum, they chose that. And the Art Institute has two in their textile collection. And then the Victoria and Albert Museum in London has three coded algorithmic drawings, and they chose those, and they also have a digital painting. So it's unless, you know, you're doing a pop-up exhibition of your own work, it's primarily curators or gallery owners choosing their work, the work they like.
So in terms of the work itself and the exhibition and the wonderful things you're doing, it's so obvious you're passionate about this and you thoroughly love, just in the way you're detailing it for us here today on the show, why are some other reasons why you do this? It, obviously, it's a real reflection of the essence of who you are, Joan.
I think it's how one, this idea of juxtaposition of differences is curious to me, shall we say. And so when I do a composition digitally, working on the computer, I always seem to bring in elements that it's not like a story you can understand easily.
Yeah.
There's usually somewhere on this continuum from continuity to conflict. The components I'm using in a composition lie along that continuum because I like the stories that I can imply or tell that way. The painter Kandinsky talked about the vibrations of the soul in his paintings, and he always hoped that those vibrations he was experiencing and put into the painting triggered or was the catalyst in calling forth vibrations in the soul of the viewer. So for me, that's like, you know, a primary objective is to engage the viewer in some of the ideas and to get them to consider. I've done a whole body of video work that has to do with salmon runs, and I started in 2000, and my statements in 2000 were that the salmon were endangered, and that was why I was doing that work, and that I felt that there was a parallel to our well-being, parallel to the diminishing well-being of the salmon. So it's trying to bring issues to people that, you know, then get activated on. So I'm not sure I answered your question.
No, you did. No, in a very detailed way, too. Do you think that mixed media makes your message more powerful or makes it easier for the message to connect with audiences?
You know, I do. That, I guess I totally, that's really how I work and how I think I can engage the audience. For another example, because different material connects with different people, and so, and for me, the issue of physicality of artwork is really important. There's this whole push that we're going to live in the digital realm, and for me, I have a physical body, and I feel like the physicality of artwork is incredibly important. So using sort of abstracted sort of digital stuff with the physicality of fiber, I think helps to connect with the viewer. And one of the layered installations is called Song Lines. And on the foreground panel is an image of tide pools, of a tide pool. And so it has this very fluid sense. And on the background image that you can see through parts of the foreground image is a nude body tumbling in the tides. So I think that between the imagery and the materiality, which and that very fluid translucent image of the tides, which moves with the air currents, really does connect with the audience.
And that's the key. Connecting with the audience is an essential part of why you do what you do. I love what you said as far as this juxtaposition and taking two opposing scenarios and bringing them together. It's so needed now in our world more than ever in our society to and the message through your work, whether, you know, something that you knew you were doing or is just a result of you being a conduit and letting it flow through you, is extraordinary because the timing couldn't be more ideal. Our world needs to see and feel and experience in all aspects of life, including art, the understanding that the juxtaposition of things that you would never see together, like hot dogs and mayonnaise as opposed to hot dogs and mustard, you know, that they can sort of coexist, they can play off each other, they can, the weakness that the one has, the other can fill in, the strength the other has, the other can pull from, and vice versa. And in our world, that is so important, and I think we've pulled away from a lot of that in just how we live our daily lives. Through your work, there are messages through the beauty of it all that go far deeper than just the actual physicality of the work itself, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I do believe that with diversity, there is a richness and a depth, and hopefully through the conflicting or contrasting and sometimes continuous elements that I use, that I bring a depth into the work that really reaches out to people.
You sure do. Absolutely. We have maybe about 2 minutes left, but how do you create something that evokes meaning or creates resonance? And what else are some wonderful things you're currently working on, Joan?
Yeah, I think
Joan, can you hear us? Got about a minute left. Her call dropped. Don't you love technology? The juxtaposition of technology and conversation. See if she can pick up. May roll over to voicemail because she may have it on silent, disturbed during the show. Yeah, for some reason her call appeared. I don't know if she's on a cell phone. Joan, can you hear us? Joan? Okay. We've only got about 30 seconds left to the show, so I'll take it from here and wrap it. Her website, again, is incredible, and that's a wonderful place to learn more about Joan. You can go to joantruckenbrod.com. And Joan, if you can hear us, thank you so very much for joining us. This is absolutely extraordinary, and the work you do is really mesmerizing and so meaningful. Again, I encourage folks to go to the website joantruckenbrod.com. You can learn more about other things she is working on. And again, Joan Truckenbrod, Digital Fibers, 1975 to present, continues through September 16th, 2021 at the Schneider Museum of Art, sma.sou.edu. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we thank our very special guest artist, Joan Truckenbrod, for joining us. And we hope you have a terrific day, everybody. Thanks for being with us on Close Up Radio, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.